Sports Flash.
Time for an unsportsmanlike conduct Sports Flash update.
Sports Flash.
From the Sports Flash Sports Desk.
Well, earlier this week, we found out that one of the Omaha chosen chose Michigan State.
That's true.
Now it sounds like we have another.
Sports Flash.
That's right.
Chucky Hepburn from Omaha.
Yes, he is.
But played at Wisconsin.
Yes.
Over the last few years. He has announced where he's going. Or at least Shams Charania is reporting where
Shams
he is.
Shams is reporting?
Yeah, which is odd.
Shams doesn't normally report on these things.
No, Wisconsin junior Chucky Hepburn, he adds, among the best remaining players in the portal.
Yeah.
Has committed to play for the University of Louisville. Sources tell the Athletic and Stadium. Hepburn had three standout seasons for the Badgers.
Now, Frankie Fiddler chose Michigan State earlier this week. So, there you go. Everyone was saying, oh, it's a package deal. It's a package deal. No, it wasn't. They were headed in separate directions.
Mm-hmm.
One going to Michigan State, one going to Louisville.
So, there you go. He's going to Louisville.
Interesting. Interesting choice.
Louisville. Yeah.
Interesting choice. That is a program that has fallen on some hard times the last couple of years.
They have, man. They won a national championship within the last just over a decade now.
Yep.
Uh-oh, was I a little too confident in your Cubs?
Yeah, Naris has decided to walk the first two
Daenerys?
Guys in the ninth. No, Naris.
Oh, Targaryen-ness?
This is what happens when you don't have a closer.
You were saying that during the commercial break.
I wonder if a Targaryen would play baseball. I don't know if that's their sport.
They'd be flamethrowers, Nick.
Ah.
John, do you get it?
Yes, get it.
Nice.
Very nice joke. Very nice joke.
Gotcha, fam.
Green.
So what does the rest of this Husker offseason look like? There's going to be 4 months between the end of the spring game. And
it'll go past us like that.
No, do not say that.
4 months ago was Christmas.
Stop.
Doesn't it feel like Christmas was yesterday, Nick?
No.
No, actually it doesn't.
Oh, wow. It seems like it was Christmas just like the other day.
No.
When my parents came over for Christmas.
That was Thanksgiving for you.
It absolutely does not.
No, that was Christmas, Nick. I'm talking about actual Christmas.
Oh.
Actual Christmas. We watched the NFL, the Chiefs lost to the Raiders. It was funny.
Don't disrespect.
Eagles almost lost to the Giants, and then they would lose to the Giants. It was funny.
The Dolphins beat the Cowboys.
That was the day before. We're talking about Christmas. The Ravens destroyed the 49ers. But
why do you remember all of these things?
Because it was Christmas. What do you mean?
Josh has a very unique brain to where he remembers. He doesn't remember specific things and dates unless it's related to a sports memory. That's
mainly
why he always
football.
That's why he always brings up the 2001 World Series.
I mean, what am I relating that to?
I mean,
Game five could be.
I mean, I relate a lot of things to sporting events too, but
yeah.
Not just
you don't remember the Christmas NFL games.
I mean, I do remember the Cowboys losing.
That was Christmas Eve.
That was funny.
The Cowboys losing was my favorite part of Christmas.
Hey, remember when Hunter Lipke just fumbled the ball for no reason? Whee! I was high fiving my dad, and he was like, "I think he fumbled." And I said, what? Sure enough, he fumbled.
I loved that.
My wife and I watched Fargo on either Christmas Eve or Christmas night, and I think that's a new tradition for us.
What
now.
Does any of this have to do with the Husker offseason?
4 months ago it was Christmas, which seems like it was yesterday, and 4 months from now it'll be game week. I'm not fast-forwarding, though. And
no.
I'm not counting
sounds
down.
Like you're counting down.
I'm not allowed. This is the last time I can count down to anything.
Yeah, when you come back, you can't count down.
No, I'm going to miss counting.
At all.
Uh-oh.
Well, the rest of the the conversation's going to be around, will Nebraska do anything in the portal?
Mm-hmm.
Will they go after some players? Certainly there's a possibility. The running back from Colorado. Dylan Edwards has been a somewhat, I wouldn't call it a strong rumor, but it's certainly been rumored, and it's certainly in the conversation.
Rumors. There was a graphic, tears in their eyes, there was a graphic from, what's his name, Fox Hawks, the guy who does the graphics for On3.
Yeah.
Ben Fox, is that what his name is? Fawkes. He put out a graphic of his top something, and Nebraska was on the graphic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. Like, I mean, that's where I would begin. What do the next few months look like? I have a couple of things that I want to throw at you.
Okay.
But the first one that I would say is certainly, are they telling the truth about the portal? Are they telling the truth about Oh, I thought Nick was cheering for the Cubs. Are they telling the truth about what is going on with the roster? Or will they...
By telling the truth, are you talking about departures or additions?
Additions. Because they seem to say that they're very comfortable with the quarterback, at the very least, right? So maybe we should discuss this almost as quarterback, rest of roster.
Right.
Because I think the quarterback transfer discussion, I think, is interesting. I am a little surprised that they don't want just a little bit more depth in there. I will admit that it is very difficult to bring in another quarterback that you were essentially saying, hey, random guy, do you want to be a backup? Because that's what we need.
Yeah, you're not going out. First of all, there's not a mainline starter that is out there, or I presume is going to be out there, that you
Correct.
Would want anyway.
Correct.
And secondly, you know, you've got your starter.
Yes.
You recruited him.
Yep. And you have him for, in theory, you hope for 3 years.
At least 3 years.
Yeah.
So,
and
no.
Things go well 3 years.
And I believe them when they talk about the confidence that they have in their quarterback room. Now,
Okay. Can
that be misguided confidence, kind of similar to last year and what the situation was?
See,
Cubs win.
I told you.
Cubs win.
I told you.
But could there be some misguided confidence similar to Jeff Sims? Of course there can, but I don't think that's necessarily the case here, because you've got your hand-picked guy, a guy that you had waiting in the wings in case he didn't commit, and then you were able to still get him,
mm-hmm.
right? And you've got an incumbent starter who, you know, yeah, for all of his faults, is going to be asked to do things just a little bit differently this year. But they seem to be pretty solid there. Honestly, Nebraska could have made a bowl game last year with Henrik Harburg at quarterback if they hadn't made so many doggone mistakes.
Dude.
And some of that was just simply because, you know, he was thrown into a situation. Nobody was expecting Henrik Harburg. It's like the Spanish Inquisition. No one expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Absolutely.
Nobody expected Henrik Harburg.
Dare I say, John, the coaches didn't, and I say that because he lined up in game one as a tight end.
Correct.
So why would they have expected
Correct. That? So now that they've had a chance to work with him in the offseason, and, you know, whether or not you believe he is better at his accuracy, he's better with his touch. You know, one of the criticisms was that he didn't have great touch. But some of that are things that you work out. Because, remember, this was a guy who, in his first year in the program, wasn't allowed in the quarterback room. So he was already behind in his development.
Yep.
So I can believe, if the coaching is what we think it is, that there is some development there. Now, I don't think it's to the point where Henrik Harburg is going to be the starter. He is not going to be the starter.
Dude,
the starter is going – but –
it's a world where he's the third stringer.
I can believe, and I can be talked into, he could be the number two. He could be the number two. But at worst, he's number three.
So
I don't know if you're good. So my point is all in regards to
adding somebody report, really necessary.
You're not gonna add anybody with any clout.
Yes.
At this point.
And so what are you doing? What's the purpose of adding somebody? Is it to mentor Royola, or is it to give you just this little bit of, like, oh, it's nice to have another guy in the...
I think it's the latter. If it's anything, it's the latter, just to say, hey, we've got one more body just in case.
So then...
But I don't know if they're necessarily going to go there.
And so what does that really give you? What kind of peace of mind does that give you? Because what I would say to somebody who really wants them to add a quarterback is, like, don't you think if he gets hurt, the season's probably lost anyway? Like, I would view it that from that perspective, but maybe I'm wrong. So, like, that's the first story, slash then the rest of the portal. You mentioned Dylan Edwards already, right? So, like, okay, are they going to go after, you know, a player like him? Are they going to go after somebody in general for the running back room? I think that that's a very fine question to have.
Mm-hmm.
Very fine question to have, given how quiet things have been about Dowdell. We talked about that a little bit earlier in the roundtable. Go check out the podcast in the Connor Happer feed. So, like, what are they looking at with that group? Because of the rooms on offense, it seems like that. If you want to add a quarterback, we just kind of went through the reasons for why or why you shouldn't. Running back would seem like the one where you say maybe they look for somebody out there that could come in and at the very least get a lot of carries and maybe even become the starter.
Now, the question in that, and this swings it back to the Dylan Edwards conversation, is that what he's looking for? you know, because it right now, it is, it's a room with a lot of questions, but there's a lot of people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
There's enough people in the room with experience. You've got Irvin, you've got Johnson, and of course, you know, you just brought in a transfer, you know, who was presumed, some people presumed, was going to be the guy to get the job. So you have some bodies.
Yeah, you
in
have Vermeer, you have Emmett, and
yeah, and I forgot about Emmett.
Yeah, and so you have those two guys. You have Gabe Irvin. So it's like this combination of lack of experience slash injuries, and with some guys, multiple injuries over multiple years. And at this point, like, what are you kind of waiting for? So, like, that would be the kind of thing that I would kick off.
Yeah.
John, let me throw this at you, because we've talked about Colorado more and more lately, and I know that we are going to talk about them more and more in the months to come. That, I think, is going to be a large portion of the next 4 months. Is, you know, there? I am excited for that game, and I think that Nebraska is going to win that game. I also thought that they were going to win that game last year, and I was proven very, very wrong. But I think that you want to talk about a game that is fork in the road for the season. I do think that that game becomes that. There's this runway that we see, that I see at least, with the first seven games. You start off with how many home games in a row? Is it four? That is at the very beginning of that. You have UTEP, and then you have Colorado, and then you have Nick's Panthers of Northern Iowa. And then the conference season begins. And while, yeah, you could be 2-1, man, I don't know if you can – I don't know what that does for the vibes. I think you got to be 3-0, and thus I think you got to be 2-0, and that means you got to beat Colorado. I think the pressure of that game, I think, is going to ramp up quite a bit. And I think rightfully so, because I guess I just put it on him too. So I think that the Colorado of it all and how that shapes the narrative of the season, I think, is pretty interesting.
It does. Colorado's got its own problems right now, just trying to retain players and bringing players in, and you know, how that roster is going to look is who knows at this point. I think the conversation around Deion in year two will be rather fascinating. I'll be curious to see if the hype machine that was behind him, particularly those folks in the national media, are still riding that train as hard as they were last year. I think it obviously the newness was a big deal, and that's why there was interest. But then the fact that they went out and beat TCU, a team that had played in the national championship game the year before, that sent it to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Deion fervor won't be as strong this year as it was last year. But that said, it is still going to be, at least around here, a really – really interesting game and a big barometer game, because this is one of those games. It's not just because it's Colorado and it's not just because it's Deion, but if you're a program that is going to show progress,
bingo,
you have to win this game.
Bingo, John.
Because you are the development program. You are the program, and let's face it, Nebraska, even though they faltered at the end of the season, Nebraska was a better football team at the end of last year than they were at the beginning of last year.
Yeah.
Colorado was not.
Yeah, in theory, if they play in November, though I guess Nebraska didn't win in November, but if they play in October, they win, given how they improved, I think, over the course of the year, even if, again, November turns into an 0-4 death march. But you are right, what you just hit on. If you push aside Colorado and if you push aside Deion, year two, this is a game that you win if the marks of progress are real.
Yes.
If you are turning into the program that I think you are. A couple things. First of all, you mentioned what you did in there about the media kind of tripping all over themselves. I highly recommend giving the newest Split Zone Duo episode this week a listen. They do like an hour and 20 on Colorado, and they kind of look at it from four separate perspectives of last year to this year and the merits as a team, the transfer portal, the race discussion with Deion, and I can't remember what the fourth one was. Very interesting listen as they just kind of try to unpack exactly what's happening. So I recommend that. Max says, kind of adding on to what we're talking about, cannot be overstated enough how massive that game is. It might be an incredible rejoicing in Lincoln if there's a win. My goodness, it would mean so much. But what a loss would do, it would be very, very bad.
See, and I don't even know. I agree with the latter part. I don't know how much – I mean, yeah, there'll be people happy because, hey, we stuck it to Dion. And of course, they won, and they haven't beaten Colorado since they left.
They don't want to go. Dude, this would be fourth straight.
But I almost think there will be a sigh of relief or
less celebration and more
less celebration
God.
And, okay, this is what was supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. This was what it was supposed to be. And, you know, and I reserve the right to change my mind because if, you know, Dylan comes out and just plays like his hair's on fire.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are talking about him the way they were talking about Taylor Martinez, you know, after the Kansas State game.
Or even like Adrian.
Right.
Yeah.
Where everyone's just like, you know, hyping up this and hyping up that. I would say that, you know, that could certainly change. But, yes, that win is so important because, yes, you're showing progress.
Definitely.
And you need it. And you're playing at home. You know, defending home field. How many times did Matt Rhule talk about that last year? And unfortunately, Nebraska failed in doing that.
Yeah.
At the end of the season.
They have to do it.
Had two very winnable games at the end of the season at home and lost them both.
I love what you said, though. I think you hit on that. Like, it's fun to talk about it from the rivalry perspective. You would like to stick it to Dion and say, like, maybe Nebraska begins the downfall of them in year two. But you hit on maybe the most important thing. It's year two. We think that there's growth in the program. You have to prove it, you know, and there is like the extra fun part about it of like you get to prove it maybe versus a team that you really despise. But put all that aside, it's a win you got to have because it's a home game. It's a team that you on paper are better than, all of these things. But yeah, it really would mean a whole lot. They're 0-3 versus them since they left the conference. Like, that's pretty wild. 0-3.
And the trolling has begun. The Go Jays on YouTube says, I think Shadour puts the team on his back and they pull out a win.
They got to him a lot last year. He holds the ball a long time in the pocket.
Yes, he does.
Got to force some turnovers and, you know.
Yes, he does.
Don't turn the ball over yourselves. So, you know what? And I guess one more thing. This is kind of big picture and it's almost hard to talk about, but like Nebraska in tight moments last year, end of the Minnesota game, I don't know if we even want to describe the Colorado game as tight moments because it got so weird. But certainly all of the November games, including those middle two, and hell, let's throw in the Iowa game too, Maryland, Wisconsin. Tight moments, everyone faltered.
Yeah.
Players on the field faltered. Quarterbacks certainly faltered. Coaches faltered. Everybody let each other down. And I think them doing better in those moments, I think it's going to be a really big key. Like, I am a believer in Matt Rhule. I think he is a great program builder. At the very least, I think he is that. But there was definitely some on-field stuff last year that caught me off guard and like, wow, I didn't think that we would be talking about essentially what happened in the double bill of Maryland and Wisconsin in back-to-back weeks. And I know we talked about it in November of like, wow, the Wisconsin failure almost seemed in response to – and because they kind of talked about it.
They did.
You know,
they did.
I think that'll be a big thing, too, the next 4 months.
402-951-1620. You can also email John at 1620thezone.com or Josh at 1620thezone.com, Equitable Bank inbox, or you can tweet at us at USC1620. Coming up, we will remember the greatness that was Bo Pelini. Also, it is the 50th anniversary of the greatest draft. We'll get into a draft conversation as we get closer to the happy hour and get into the happy hour because the draft, first round of the draft coming up tonight. By the way, you'll be able to hear the draft if you're out and about and can't be near the telly. You can hear the draft on 1180 The Zone.
Oh, awesome.
Tonight, 1180 The Zone will have coverage of the NFL draft. But we'll get into draft conversation. And also, we will relive Nick's failed.
Oh, yeah.
Hot dog eating expedition.
I didn't fail. I just found a way to eat a hot dog that didn't work in under 10 seconds. Mm.
I was going to suggest now that the Cubs have been victorious and have swept the Astros.
Wow.
Trash-tros.
And continue to just confound the experts despite all the injuries and failures, how they continue to win. I was going to suggest that they move your Rockies game up to the big screen, but then I saw that Jurickson Profar just went yard and the Padres now lead 8-4, so you're probably not wanting that game on the big TV.
I miss when Profar was on the Rockies, because then if he would have done that but still been on the Rockies, then they would have had more points than they do now.
Runs.
Points.
Runs.
Wow.
Points on the board.
I thought that he... No, runs
points.
On the board.
Runs on the board.
I thought that Nick was of baseball now. Guess he's got a little bit more to learn.
It is runs.
By the way, Sky says it would take Grimm an hour and 49 minutes to eat the same amount of hot dogs Joey Chestnut ate in 10 minutes when he set the world record.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I have found a new respect for our hot dog men and women, our brave hot dog men and women.
It really is nice when we do a dumb debates question and we get the answer within 24 hours.
We did.
So, you know, it was very, very, very
good. We got the answer.
Efficient.
Now, that said, I still want to see this happen just for the hilarity of watching Joey Chestnut beat Usain Bolt. But
I don't know why they couldn't do it, raise some money for charity.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would be a great idea.
Mm-hmm. It'd be good content for them too.
Mm-hmm. Fun content indeed. Speaking of fun, you can have fun with the FanDuel Sportsbook because right now as the NBA and NHL playoffs are well underway, you can turn $5 into $150. That's right, a $5 bet, win or lose.
What?
Can net you $150 in bonus bets, and all you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/1620. We have got a ton of NBA playoff action. Plenty of things you can bet on, not just the game itself, the point spreads, the totals, but you can bet on player and other game props. And all it takes is that first $5 bet, win or lose, and FanDuel will bonus you $150 in bonus bets. And all it takes is visit FanDuel.com/1620.
Three games tonight, John, as the series flip locales. Cavs +2.5 at the Magic, Knicks +5.5 at the Sixers, and Nuggets +1 at the Lakers. Whether it's one of those games, whether it's the totals, or anything in between, just go to FanDuel.com/1620, and again, get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, that you can use throughout the rest of the NBA playoffs. 21 plus and present in Iowa. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit is required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.